Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from six figures to seven figures and even to eight figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out. Hello guys, Alex Fedotov here. Today I'm super, super excited to have one of our clients here, Edin. Edin is a phenomenal entrepreneur, so he had success in the past, you know, like a lot of people in space, but then he almost like lost it all, almost like into like losing everything he had into like pretty much like bankruptcy. He recovered all of it and scaled his business to like 60 G's a day. So very, very excited to have Edin here and, you know, hear your story, my man. Tell me about your journey, my man. Like, what's kind of like, where did you start it in the first place?
Oh, man, I started way back. I'm a dinosaur. I'm just 32 years old, but still dinosaur, looking at all the young G's that's joining our space. But I started with CPA marketing in 2016. Selling t-shirts with a brand called Teespring. When Facebook actually was, it was easy that time, right? It was just throwing up an ugly image ad and running it. And that took off really quick. But of course, Facebook, the CPC got higher and higher, and that model died pretty quickly, which led me to dive deep hard into affiliate marketing. So I joined the Stack That Money forum, and when I joined there, I realized that I didn't know jack shit about marketing, and that was 2 years in. And at that time, I dove heavily into direct response, copywriting, writing your own offers, optimizing everything from zero to multiple, like five-figure days, right? Eventually, started to come into e-commerce because that was kind of hot. Took it from the US because I was selling only in US and applied the tactics to Europe, especially the Nordics, which was basically running funnels with advertorials, heavily optimized funnels with advertorials to maximize AOV and to get the most out of the first purchase, right? To get as profitable as possible from the first purchase. Eventually, I built a brand here in Sweden, and during that time, I got some heavy issues with Facebook accounts, 2020, right before the US elections. And what that led to, that basically for 6 whole months, I wasn't able to do anything on Facebook. During that time, I was forced,
Did you sell some aggressive products? Like what
no, not at all. To this day, I have no idea what the issue was. I just know that at that time Facebook did slap people right, left, center, for no reason, right? And if you if your appeal didn't get approved, you were basically done if you don't have any solutions. And at that time I didn't have any connections about agency accounts, profiles, whatever, that kind of stuff. That I was just cheating and waiting for 2 months to get my review request, to get the answer back from the internal team. So yeah, that basically put me off guard a lot, and while still bleeding a lot of money from the company, basically just getting into a negative spiral. And until this year, in the summer, I decided to basically exit that brand, took 1 month off, came back and basically rebuilt everything, find new offers, and now is doing 30-50k a day.
What changed? Like, what happened during that month when you like reevaluated your approach? Like, what went through your head?
To be honest, man, and this is something that I've been putting off for years, basically comes from the way I was raised, but mindset, and I don't like that word, but it truly is mindset, because I was running my business on a really broken mindset and with limiting beliefs, and when stuff happened to me, I usually looked at it at a negative way, right? Instead of now when stuff happens, I all just look for solutions. Okay, this happened. What can I do today to make it back tomorrow, or to evaluate or make it better next week, right? That's like the biggest thing for me, like mindset, because the skill sets today, looking back for one year, it's not much difference, right? I still know the same type of copywriting, how to write offers, how to do that, this and that, run by media, whatever, right? The only thing that's changed is how I see from my lens, right, on the perspective, on the with the mindset, only thing. And that's, I think, a huge part. And for me, it was always kind of woo-woo, like mindset. For me, I'm a person that I smash my head against the wall until the wall breaks, no matter what. Like, I never give up. But that doesn't always work, right? Sometimes you need to take a step back and ask yourself, am I on the right path or should I change path, right? Because if you do the same thing wrongly over and over, what will happen? It will just burn out and you will not get anywhere, right? So mindset has been like a huge, huge, huge role for me, thinking positive, looking everything from a solution standpoint, and not like if an account comes down, okay, nice, what can we do to improve it? And how can we minimize the risk next time if it happens? When my parents came to Sweden, the only goal was to put food on the table, right? And that was kind of like the mindset that they came here with and that they engraved me and my family, right? With like, the most important thing is to put food on the table and that's enough, right? And then you take that part, you have that engraved in your backbone and you take that part with you when you run your business. That's dangerous. Because let's say now you find an offer, you start ramping up budget to making like 300% on ad spend day in, day out, but you're comfortable now. Like now you have the amount, you maybe make $600 profit today, just a little bit, right? And that's enough, right? Because now I have food on the table. I don't need to scale. And then you get complacent, you get comfortable. So you stop iterating new creatives, you stop iterating on the funnel, you just let it be, you just touch it a bit, little bit. What happens 2 months later? It just dies. And then you're back at zero again, with pressure again to get it back up. And constantly, that was something that happened to me so often until I realized, like, I'm like, my mindset is so broken. I love them to death, but that if I want to scale a business to multiple 8 figures, even 9 figures, that's not possible. I need to take it, throw it in the trash can, and apply something new, like a growth mindset, right? Not this limiting belief and like the scarcity mindset. Like that's the big part from, I think that's a lot from Eastern European countries, but even people that comes like immigrants to other countries, like it's a scarcity mindset, right? I just want to have food on the table and that's it. I'm happy.
Wow. And that applies on any level, right? Like as you said, right? Okay, you might be making like $600 per month. Well, I mean, you might be making $6,000 or per day, right? Like profit. You might be making 6,000. You might be making 60, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that it will last forever. Because like if you're making good money, there will always someone else notice that you're making good money or will find that out. Now you have more people coming into like doing exactly what you do. So if you don't like improve on your process, if you don't like evolve, if you don't change and don't evolve like your business model, like a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people, so many people that have been running like dropshipping, like, you know, stores like since 2018. Phenomenal time to run dropshipping stores, like beautiful. Think about the things that you have to do like tomorrow. Like think about like, look where the industry is going. Look where trends are going, you know, keep an eye on it. Like keep an eye on when, you know, where like trends, like human behavior, like social platforms, like, you know, it changes all the time. Every year, it's literally something new. And if you're not on top of that, if you're not constantly like innovating, then your results will decline. It's just like, it's inevitable.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, today, it's sad to say, but or not, it's not sad really. It's good for us that already are veterans, but today you need to have an edge, right? It's not mm-hmm. just enough slapping up a product on a Shopify site. As you said, that doesn't work. And if it works, you're making meniscus profit. Maybe you make 10% at the end of the day, which is really bad looking at when you can make the double or triple that, right? But again, it's all about having an edge. So some maybe, if you, let's say, in the beauty niche, you sell the same product as some other guy. What edge do you have over that guy? If that guy has better terms with the supplier, how are you going to beat him? With better funnels, with stronger ad accounts? Because, again, having a good Facebook setup today is an edge, right? Because if you're getting slapped right now with all your accounts and I don't, I can advertise and take your customers, right? I can outbid you from the platform, for example.
Yeah.
And it's all about stacking these edges in your favor. So be good at copywriting, be good at creating your own offers, be good at building a team, be good with the financials, everything. If you can stack all of these in your favor, you're unstoppable, right? Because then the process is just repeatable. Yeah. Just repeat the same process at a bigger scale, meaning with more people that are aligned with your goals in your company. So you hire more people that are A players that want the same, something that want to grow, and just repeat the process. Bam, 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 and then just scale. And of course, stuff is gonna break, but that's where you need to be prepared. And again, have your edges in place because stuff will break. And if someone is listening to this right now and like newbie or whatever, you've been 1 year in and you're killing it, let me tell you one thing. It will come a rainy day and it will suck and it will take everything from you. And if you're not prepared, you're fucked. That's how it is. Entrepreneurship is really, really hard. So there's a lot of people, I know a lot of people that, as you said, started 2020 and 2020, the pandemic year, it was easy for people. You could slap up anything and people was like customers were in buying frenzy. People were throwing money at the computer, right? So you could sell anything. Look now, how many of these dropshippers are doing dropshipping? Not many. Many people are doing agency work right now because they can't figure out because they just think that finding a winning product.
Wow.
Is winning products.
That's a good perspective. I just think about it. So many people that transition to the agency because they simply cannot make it work.
Yeah, because they want trick pony. They jumped on the bandwagon finding winning products. Right. That doesn't work anymore. It's about creating offers, creating angles. It's not about selling winning products. It's about solving, finding a product and attacking a problem. For a specific demographic, right? And matching together with good marketing, good creative, good funnel, good copywriting, right? If you don't know how to do that, how are you going to compete with guys like you, like me, like people that do this kind of stuff, that already know this stuff, right? It's hard. Like, I don't think that, like, I can't remember last time I ran traffic to a store. 3 years ago, maybe. I don't run traffic to a store. It's like, it's a waste of ad spend.
You're only doing advertorials for the last like a few years?
Only advertorials and long form sales pages. Yeah. I don't see, I tested countless of time running to optimize Shopify product pages.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, like advertorials or long form sales pages outperform by a big, big, significant amount. Like always. Mm. And that's because you isolate on one thing only. There's no buttons to click around. It's one thing, headline, heavily focused headline with the demographic in it. Bam.
You mentioned you don't look at the product, like product ideas, like winning products, like trends, like, you know, that kind of stuff. You're looking at the problem, right? So can you walk us through that process? Let's say like today, let's say you have like $5,000-$10,000 to your name. And like you need to build a business. Like, what do you do? Where do you go? Kind of like step by step.
Okay, if I would have 10K today and with the skills that I have, the first thing I would look is what kind of pain do I have myself? Do I have back pain? Do I have foot pain? Anything that has to do with my body, because that's the easiest to sell, right? So let's say, for example, I have back pain. Simple, there's a lot of stuff, people selling stuff for back pain, right? The first thing I would do, I would go to Amazon, our product that has back pain in it, and I would just like countless of reviews, just going through them, watching keywords. This is important. Keywords. What kind of keywords is mostly used across different products, but that attacking the same problem? Because you notice a theme. There may be people mentioning the same keywords over and over and over again, right? That means that mm-hmm. problem is what you're going to attack, right? So let's say now you found a specific problem. Let's say sciatica pain or something like that. I'm not sure how we spell it. Yeah. Next thing is look for.
It's interesting, right? Like you don't even know how to spell it, but you're selling like millions of dollars worth of these products.
That's totally irrelevant, right? As long as you know who the demographic is. So you can see, for example, on Amazon, on the review, you can actually click on the review, the icon of the person that reviews it. It comes a list, and you can see what that person, first you can see the name, and you can see what that person has reviewed before, different products. And you can easily see if it's a female, if it's an older female, if she has bought multiple products for back pain, like what kind of person it is. And you do that like with 50 profiles on Amazon, and you will quickly have your avatar. Example, Susan, 55, two children, have a cat, is a little bit overweight, right? Good. Now we have that prospect in your mind. The next thing you do is you go to Google and you try to find an image that looks like this person, just so you have that, so you can have it in front of you, right? Now when you write your copy, you either print out Susan on a profile pic of her besides you, or you put it on your side by side when you write on your Google Doc, right? Now you put yourself into her feelings, emotions, who she is, and you write from her viewer standpoint. You can't fail. If you have done extensive research, no matter what product it is, it can be this tool that everybody saw on TikTok with the cracking sound. People say it's saturated right now. You can take that product, I promise you. I can take that product today. Within 1 month, we will do easily 50, 20K a day with that, easily. Just by testing different angles and writing to one person.
You know, by most people, like they'll look at it and they'll say like, oh, the product is like saturated. Like, or like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it's completely bullshit. Because if people like, like, imagine this. There's how many millions have back pain today? How many more people have back pain tomorrow? And the next day, and the next week? Like, there will always be people that has the same pain for that particular problem, right? But if someone has sold thousands and thousands of one product, that means that there's buyers, there's people that actually want this, right? And if you can just find a little gap in the market, i.e. come up with a cool, good angle that resonates with the demographic, there's no reason why you can't scale that up to big numbers. There's no reason. Just make sure that the actual offer is good quality so you don't get issues. But like, there's no reason. We run old stuff that's been running for 3 years back. No problem, as long as the angle is fresh, right? You need to attack it from different angles, right? And that's a whole lot of conversation. I come up with angles, how to reason, how to test. But again, winning products is a myth. Saturated product is a myth.
Can you elaborate, like, how you see like the definition of the angle itself?
So again, going back to the same problem, back pain. So there's different pockets of people that have back pain. For example, you have athletes, right? You have overweight people. You have people that are 60 plus that are getting old. You have whatever. Let's say those two, right? These are three pockets of people. Now, let's say we are attacking the 60 plus, right? For what reason do they have back pain? It's all about taking one avatar, and now let's say that 60 plus guy or girl, woman, one angle, one avatar, and then now you try to attack that problem in different ways. For example, one angle that can maybe work for older people back pain is example. Yeah, this is a good one. That's usually used by top scientists. Reveals how seniors, for example, get pain relief in the back. Something like that, just simple. So the angle here is top scientists, right? Because that's credibility, right? Top scientists. That's one part. Another part can be older people like to read that someone recommended a product to them. My friend recommended this, blah, 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 and I tried it, and this is how. So now we have two different angles. One is top scientists. One is how a friend recommended that was maybe on a trip somewhere that got back pain and found the solution, and now they recommended that to that demographic, right? It's all about how you attack the problem. It's the same demographic, But now you attack because different people get dragged in on different stuff, right? Maybe me and you have the same problem with the back, but maybe you get dragged in when someone talks about running, getting back pain from running, while I maybe getting hooked in if someone creates an angle about bicycling. But we have the same completely problem, and we are the same avatar. If you spend 1 month just researching, finding how they talk, finding the deep problems, like everything, and you can speak their language, you can sell any product that somehow can help them with the back pain, be it supplements, be it physical products, be it ebooks, be it courses, what I don't know, but everyone, because you know their root problem, you know everything about them. And this is a big part about copywriting. For me, copywriting is not writing. Copywriting is researching and assembling copy and writing the words that they speak. It's easy to read 2-3 books and take a course about writing copy and then think you're a god. Nothing to do with that. For example, I tried countless of freelance writers, copywriters. 99.9% suck. Why? Because they have they have never, ever, ever taken a product, whatever that be, course, whatever, wrote and copy and bought media to that offer and optimized it to profit. They are only freelance. Mm. How the hell are you able to know what converts if you never gotten traffic or seen any data behind your stuff? That's why I tell people, like, learn how to research. That's the most important part in this business. How to research, how to know the pain points of your demographic. If you know that, there's nothing you can sell. Nothing.
One of the guys like in the space, you probably know their offers. I know their offers. They have a bunch of these, like, also like home improvement and like offers, like the, you know, like brands that they're operating. And you know, I talked to him, and he is like, this company does like over like $100 million a year. And I'm like, okay, so what do you do in the business? Like, who create these kind of like new offers? Because like every year they're like launching new offers, new angles. They have like a machine for like manufacturing like new angles and offers. And I'm like, who does that? And he's a founder. I mean, he's you know, his net worth is probably like, I don't know. He can retire like any moment, right? And he's like, I'm doing that. That is the highest impact activity, you know, that you can do, like finding an offer, like researching, like observing human behavior, like, okay, people like buying this? Wow, okay, why are people buying this? Like, question yourself, like, why this offer is so popular, what problem it solves, and how that, you know, how that offer is being sold, you know, how that offer is being positioned. So if you just like, you know, people asking like, oh, how to find winning products. If you just kind of like open your mind to that idea that winning products like are all around you, like people paying money for someone, right? They can pay to someone or they can pay to you. The only difference is like how to get them to pay you money. Like, and that is such an interesting like observation. So you're writing your own copy?
Yes. And right now I have two guys I'm training, goes really well. But again, I don't think ever I will let that go. Again, that's the highest leverage point for me is coming up with these offers, angles, and writing the copy. I think it will be hard to ever let that go because I know how much effort it required and how like powerful it is when you know what you're doing and how actually the most important part like here is how you can optimize and reiterate. But because usually your first editorial won't convert that good, but it's getting the data from the traffic feedback and constantly improving and rewriting and testing new headlines and testing that and this and that until you feel that, okay, now I have maxed out. Like now it's just diminishing returns. Like now this is it. Now it's time to go focus on the deeper down the funnel or up the funnel, right? I think like if there's one skill that anybody that's listen here tonight, I want to learn, focus on learning how to write your own copy and how to come up with angles. If you know how to do that day in, day out, it's game over. You will never have to worry about money ever.
So how do you write copy? That's very like fascinating. Where do I even start? Like, how do I even like, what is the process there? Is there is any process or yeah, kind of like how do walk us through that?
It is a process. So first off, based on my research that I do, I always find, again, these most mentioned keywords. And in the beginning, like people talk about writer's block. I never get that because I start to write a copy by assembling. So I copy paste lines of text here and there. And all of a sudden, you have a good like chunk of sentences that make sense for like for the particular angle. Now we start to rewrite. Mm-hmm. So I always start with the lead. And the formula I follow is problem, adjective, solution, right? So The first thing I write, not even the headline first. Headline I write last. So the first thing I write is the problem.
Oh, interesting. So headline you write last. Don't try to be like very like sequential. First I have to write a headline. Then I have to write this. Then I have to write this, right? So it's like, it's pretty much you can just drag and drop these things, right? Like have this and then... And then
exactly.
Kind of figure out what would be the best like headline based on what you have.
Exactly. So always starting writing the problem first. So let's say I write five different leads or problem leads, right? Mm-hmm. So they're completely different, but they are still with these keywords and still resonating with the angle, but there may be a different story, attacking it from a different point of view. And then I focus, once I'm done with that, I focus and just rewrite the first sentence. Because what is the first thing they do? They see your headline. And if the headline is good, you're hooked in, right? Then they see the image, usually have an image. If the image is good, then they're going to read the first sentence. Now, if the first sentence sucks, it's game over. They're going to leave the page. So the first sentence needs to be short, punchy, and to the point, bam. Usually, like, for example, if you look at any Hollywood movie, how do they start? They always start with the problem, the villain or whatever. Like they start in the middle of the movie and then they go back to the beginning. That's usually how I start the first sentence. Like, I don't know, like something scary or something that about their problem that gets them like sucked in immediately. And then I go into the problem and agitate. And then I make it worse and worse and worse. And then I introduce the product. Go into the product details, how it can help, all of that. And then we go into reviews and all of that stuff. But like, and this of countless of hot, like I have spent so many hours, man, looking at Hotjar recordings, people scrolling on the editorials. Like people look at the headline, at the image, at its first sentences of the problem. And then they usually skim through the subheadlines. So your subheadlines are super duper important to nail down the subheadlines of like in the page, because people, you should just skim through this few instances where people read word for word, but that's very rarely. Like they usually get hooked by the headline, the image, the first sentences, and then they read the problem and then they start to skim through, because people, like the attention span today is terrible, right? So people just want to fast track everything. So if your subheadlines are good and you can tell a lot of stuff with small, with shorter words, then you are golden. Because your goal is to get them from the top to the button at the bottom. If you can do that, then you've done half of the job. The next job comes on the next page, right? To get them to actually buy. But the most heavy lifting on a editorial page is the headline, the image, and the first sentences. That's it. If you can't hook them there, you can have the best copy at the bottom. Nobody will read it.
Wow, such a good point. So what is the, so if you've done everything well, like what is the percentage of people that you're looking to see on the second page, like the kind of like the conversion rate from the pre-sale to the second page?
Yeah. That all depends on what vertical you're in. But here's the thing. There's few benchmarks that I've seen during these 4 or 5 years running this is, let's say you run your editorial and you have 40 to 50% landing page CTR, meaning people that lands on your editorial clicks on the button to go to the next page, and whatever that be, or the form or sales page. Usually that means that you are not filtering enough. Your copy, your angle is too weak, or your copy is too weak. So people aren't actually hooked in. They just see the headline and they just scroll down. So they are actually not getting pre-sold, because the goal of the editor is to twist the knife. You need to twist the knife with the problem, right? To get them feel that, shit, I need this today. Not tomorrow, not next week. I need this today. And I need to buy it from this person because he has the right solution. Not Amazon, but me. I have the right solution, right? If it's 40% plus, usually, that means something is off on the page. Now, if it's less than 20%,
So if it's like, if it's too high, like you see that as a problem, that's interesting. So if it's like too high of a percentage, you see that like you haven't filtered enough.
Exactly. You're letting too many clicks get to the next page, right? Because your copy is not doing enough job to actually get them sucked into the copy to read. Because the more people read, usually the lower. And the sweet spot across the board is 25 to 35. Around there. And another thing is, like, for example, I see many people like, oh, I write so good copy, my editorial is good. And then you see their video ad and you realize that the video ad is doing 90% of the pre-selling. Because imagine this, you have your editorial, you run one image ad here and one video ad. Which one is going to get the most click-through rate on the page? Obviously the video ad, because you're actually pre-selling the click before they even land on your page. You're showing the product, you're showing the problem already on the ad, right? So they already pre-framed when they land on your page, only pre-framed. So what we always do, I never launch a new editorial without an image ad, because that tells me if my copy sucks or if it's good. Because if the image ad can convert at break even, then I know I'm onto something. Now imagine I optimize this editorial to convert with this image ad. Now I add a killer creative on the Facebook side or whatever you're running traffic from. It's game over. It's game over, because now you're killing it on the ad, on the traffic side, plus that you're heavily optimized editorial filter through the shit and pre-sells it so much that the people that when they click the button, they just want to buy.
Let's say, like, if you were to launch like a new offer, how much budget would you like allocate for initial testing? And how much time usually takes you from that initial process, let's say, finding an idea, doing the research, and then actually launching the product?
Yeah, good question. So it all depends on, like, if it's something that we have previous data on, for example, a current running vertical, let's say health niche or whatever, or if it's something new, let's say I want to jump into the dog vertical. I want to sell dog toys or dog supplements or whatever. Let's say I'm going to sell dog toys. Usually let's say it's a Monday, it would usually take me 3 weeks to do proper research, write out three different, because I always start with testing three different editorial and angles, right? Because I want to have the most possibility to at least get break even. The goal is not to make money now. The goal is to get to break even. If I can sell 10 units at break even or whatever, that means that I can optimize it heavily to profitability, right? So usually from start to finish, 3 weeks. And I'm not looking to, like, again, not make any money. I just want to prove that the offer is converting somehow, because then I know that it's just a matter of optimization, pulling different levers on the ad side, on the funnel, increasing AOV, working with the copy, whatever that may be, right? Let's say from a fully optimized offer, scaling, anywhere from 5 to 7 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. It all depends, again, what vertical it is, but a testing phase, 3 weeks, and a fully optimized, maybe 6 to 8 weeks.
How would you convince yourself to actually do it this way? Instead of just like randomly going and like testing like products, like a maniac, like instead of that, just going kind of like more, you know, like research and like validation and actually going deeper on this.
Well, if I could look back years back, I would spend so much more time on nailing down my demographic. Whatever vertical you choose, like, there's so much out there making millions and millions and millions with the same product or the same vertical, right? Usually there's someone that's killing it. Why can't you do that? Or why can't you just take a slice of that pie, right? You can, but the problem is a people are lazy today, and we are lazier than ever today. Like it, like the people that are trained right now with copywriting, the most important thing is again research. What do you think they suck at the most? Research. Because it's boring. It's boring to sit and research about demographic. It's so boring. And it's the most important part on the entire business too, like research. How the hell are you able to sell something when you don't know anything about demographic? You can't. How are you going to solve my problems if you don't know my root problems? You can't. So, I mean, the biggest thing would be to find something that you already know works. So going for the, like, if you see a product on a newsfeed with thousands of comments, that works. That guy or girl spends major budget on that ad. That means take that product or find something similar. Go into that vertical and don't move away until you make that profitable. Because it's just you, your research, and a matter of optimization. Optimization is so underutilized in our space. People launch a product, I did one CBO, three ad sets, blah, 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 and did a convert after 2 days.
Was it $5 a day?
$5 a day, yeah. For 24 hours, if no sales, kill it. Like, man, like I don't spend any time in the ads manager. Like, come on. The money is not made in the ads manager. Money is made further down in the funnel.
When you write copy, when where you're in this like mode, you told me about how you put yourself in that environment, in that state. How do you get yourself to do it?
Yeah. So let's say I want to write an editorial tomorrow for whatever that may be offered, current offer, new offer. Usually by today, I'll already have every information I need to write that copy. So I have the image printed out on my desktop of that avatar, that person, big image, yeah. Profile pic. And because it requires, like, again, you need to have empathy. You need to get into the skin of that avatar so you can actually write in the words and the feelings and the emotions of that. So the day prior to today, I note down the main bullet points of what I'm going to write about. And then I read through the demographic data. So who is the demographic? So I know exactly the age range, what kind of language you use. And then when I come to the office the next day, I cut out everything. Leave the phone, whatever hell, don't have the phone notification, because if you get disturbed, like there's no way you can focus and write good copy. You need to focus for 3 hours and you just slam that keyboard. Just slam it. Don't stop. Just write. Don't go edit anything. Don't go edit misspellings or think. Just write for 3 hours. You can take maybe 5 minutes pauses in between, right? But just write. Once you have done, go away.
Like three hours, like nonstop. Like you wouldn't do breaks.
No.
You wouldn't like you.
No, of course you do have breaks, but let's say like 10 to 15 minutes breaks each hour, but not more, because you need to keep the stillness flow state mind, right? Because if you move away, go check your phone, what will happen? You get unfocused and then need to get into the state motion again, which you will not do. So you constantly need to like just go up from a chair, walk around a bit, get some fresh air, come back in and start typing again. Type. And maybe you can write a copy in 50 minutes or 30 minutes. Right, that happens if you know your research, you know who you write for. That can go very quickly. You finish that pre-sale or whatever you're writing, go away. Don't look at it. The next day, you go back and then you start to edit it, because people think you write it once and then they just go live, publish it. No. Uh-huh. Because the next day when you check it, you will notice a lot of issues, misspellings, like, what the hell did I write here? Why did I write this here? Oh, I need to add this here. Like you spot so many issues. The third day, so you do your first editing. The third day, come back again, and you'll find more stuff. And the third day is usually the final day, and now you read it out loud. And when you read it out loud, when you speak it, it needs to go. It goes naturally. It should not be like hiccups or sound weird. Like you should be easy to flow when you speak it out. If it's not flowing from your mouth, it means that when someone reads it, it's going to get hiccups in the brain. So it needs to be like a really flow, have a nice flow when you read it out loud. Once that's done, it's ready to go live.
Mm. Awesome, man. So, like, and then when you have, like, in terms of the technical setup, you know, that's like, people will listen to this and they're like, oh, it's so cool, but like, what landing page builder do you use? Like, what is the tools? Like, what is the magic? Like,
there's no, like, the technical. I know we like to look for new setups to waste our money on stuff that we don't need. We use Webflow. Webflow, building our landing pages on Webflow, and that's it. We take orders either if we run, right now I have a custom solution. So I run Klarna with one-click upsells. Not many people have it, so I'm not going to share with anybody yet because that's my edge. Simple Webflow.
Klarna in like United States and Big Four market?
Not in the Big Four. It's in the Europe. So you're
mostly selling in Europe?
Both in Europe and US, but mostly in the Europe. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some modifier will come up with a SaaS solution for that, and then they will do it like ClickFunnels. Until that, I will print my money with this setup because it's a game changer, right? It's Webflow, build landing pages, going to either one-click checkout to Klarna or funnels on ClickFunnels or Funnelish if we run to the Big Four, where we don't need to have Klarna. Super simple.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's say in Big Four, that would be just the Funnelish and like just standard like Stripe, like payment processors, everything standard?
Yes. Yes, and I have never ever had issues with payment processors. I still use Shopify Payments, Stripe, PayPal. No issues. PayPal, of course, everybody has holds on PayPal, like the reserves that they take. But that's nothing. Like, never had issues with that, and that's because I don't fuck with customers when they start to complain. Refund. If you drop shipping, you have no control over the shipping time and everything. Don't mess with the customer. The customer is right. Take the hit on the chin and move on. Because long term, you will make more money. Short term, you will lose more money, right? But long term, it will keep your, like, again, it's enough that we have issues with Facebook right now. It's enough. Be friends with the payment providers. Be friends with them. Do whatever you can to not get in trouble with that. Because if you get in trouble with that too, it's a mess, man.
Man, I mean, that was mind blowing. Like, I think for those few that will take it, will apply it, I mean, it will be like life changer. So thank you so much for sharing and like sharing your story. Like, it's, you know, it's life, you know, it's life. You go like this, but then, you know, as long as you have your mindsets right, like you're like, take control of your circumstances and like do what you need to do. And, you know, just roll up the sleeves and make shit happen. So, It's awesome, man, and I'm looking forward to see your like next breakthroughs, like your next, you know, benchmarks. You said a goal for the next year for you is like to hit 8 figures, so that's when we have another one.
Yes, for sure.
So, yeah, my man, thank you so much, and thank you guys for watching. Adin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. See you, Alex.
Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from 6 figures to 7 figures and even to 8 figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out.